Good morning.
So good to be here with you all this morning to share with you in the first day of Advent. And so it's just a blessing and a privilege to be here. I'm excited. So I bring you greetings from Faith Fellowship Church. We have been at the University of Hartford for 6 years. We are 6 years old as a church plant. I started at the church plant about, I want to say, probably 6 months into it being planted. And my mic went off. I'm back. Okay. And so you kind of look at the sound team, you're like, hey, what is he doing? I promise I turned it on. It just, I must have leaned on it. It's just amazing. I've been at the university for 6 years working there. I've been at the chaplaincy after Pastor Frank and Pastor Logan for the last 3.5 years, and it's just been a blessing to serve that campus. I've been serving there for the last 6 years, and I like to say this to people now that I'm a college missionary, and I get to serve the University of Hartford in two different ways. One, as a lead pastor of a collegiate church plant, but then two, as the Protestant chaplain for the university. And so because of those two roles, I'm just around college students all the time. And so I always feel like I'm getting older and they're the same age. So so you guys pray for me as I get older and they stay the same age. And I was talking to Joe this morning, and every year they leave me. You know, they go back home, and it's you get your heart ripped out every May. And in June, you have to put the strength to put it back together to talk to freshmen. You're like, okay, my seniors are gone, my freshmen are here. But if you want to hear more about what we do, you can always check out my personal website, GaryKnighton.com, and I have a podcast called Campus Life. So if that interests you in any way to hear what you could be doing for college students or how we do what we do for college students, I welcome you to listen to that podcast. It is on all of the places that you can listen to, Apple, Android, if you have that that Google Play Store stuff. As you can tell, I like Apple. So let's jump into the Word. Today we're talking about hope. And it's the first day of Advent. And Advent is the season where we celebrate the first coming of Jesus. I grew up in a church where we did not put so much emphasis on the season of Advent. Of course, Christmas was important, but I did not get a chance to serve, you know, to hear the story of Advent, to go through peace, joy, love, hope. And so it's always been a blessing for the last 6 years of my life to preach during Advent, because Christmas is undoubtedly, along with Easter, my favorite times of year as a believer. And so it's exciting to be able to preach to you about hope. But before we jump into the message, I would like to do a quick poll. Can I do that? Is that okay? Will you participate? Okay. I appreciate that. So if you trust me for a second, and if you trust the person sitting next to you, I'd ask you to just bow your head really quickly and just close your eyes. We're not going to pray, although we will when I get ready to preach, but this is not the prayer, okay?
So here we go. So the first question I want to ask you, and if this question is true for you, I want you to raise your hand. Don't look around. Just keep your eyes closed. The first question is, raise your hand if someone has ever broken a promise they've made to you. Okay. Put your hand down. Number two, raise your hand if you have ever broken a promise you made to someone else. And lastly, raise your hand if you've ever broken a promise you made to yourself. Okay. Thank you. Experiment is over. Raise your heads up. I think just by polling this room, it's very clear that we have all had people break promises that they've made to us. It's also very clear is that we've all broken promises that we've made to other people. And lastly, we've all made promises to ourselves that we've broken. Very few hands were not up. And I'm really wondering whether they were actually being truthful during that test. I know we're in church, but you know. We live in a world of broken promises. Much of the world and what we see is shaped by broken promises. Homes are shaped by broken promises. Our communities are shaped, large in part by people's promises that have not been kept. Our parents have broken our promises, our friends, our spouses, our children, politicians, pastors, everyone we know, have all made promises to us that they have not kept. Consequently, we have all made promises that we have not kept to ourselves and to others. One poet put it this way: promises made and promises kept, forgotten in keyless chambers, dusty with age and neglect, promises that once were, still are, and always will be. As a young child, I learned very early in my days to keep my expectations of people low. When people would make promises to me, like going to an amusement park or some type of day trip that would be exciting, there was always a piece of me that kept reality in the back of my head that this may not happen. You know how it is. You get your hopes up, you've got your day plan, you've got your swimming gear. Come on, right? You've canceled your plans. You're telling people, I can't come because I'm going somewhere. And then the time comes and you're looking around the corner, you're waiting outside. Yeah? And they don't show up. And then you get that phone call that you know is that phone call. I'm not coming. And all your hopes are dashed, your day is done. For me, I would cry sometimes. You know, just little stuff like, you're coming to pick me up today, right, Dad? And he doesn't. Broken promises. Even though some of the people meant well, things did not go as they planned. That happens. On November 22nd, some of you remember the day quite vividly. November 22nd, 1963, JFK was assassinated. JFK was the 35th president of the United States, and he was one of the presidents with the highest approval rating. President Kennedy did some things during his short presidency with the Civil Rights Act and even his work with the Peace Corps. But when President Kennedy was shot, many of the promises he made that day to the American people were murdered with him. See, the truth is, human beings, we can't really say that we'll do anything because we don't even know what tomorrow will be. We don't know what will happen a second from now. And so we live in a world full of empty promises, and some of them are not our fault, but it's life. And today I have come, in the midst of broken promises, to offer you hope. Because sometimes if your promises have been dashed enough and your dreams have been killed enough, you stop hoping. You stop looking forward in life with expectation. And we need hope. Hope is essential because hope makes you strive for better. Hope makes you get up in the morning. Hope makes you keep going even when it's tough. You need hope. And I've come to tell you today that there's a hope in God that makes his people not ashamed. Amen. That it's okay to put your hope in God and trust him because he is not like man. Amen. And so if you don't get anything from this message today, that God is not like man. He is trustworthy. Amen. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love and compassion toward us. As we jump into the scriptures, God, I pray that you would let them come alive to us. Let us find hope and then help in you today. God, hope so that we won't give up, and help so that we'll do better than we've been doing before. God, we pray that our trust and hope would be in you, because you're the only safe place to put it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First passage I would like to read to you, just this passage this morning. It's in your bulletin, Psalms 146. And I'll be reading from the NIV version this morning. And if you get there, it's close to the end of Psalms. If you see Proverbs, you've gone a little too far. Okay. If you see Job, you haven't gone far enough, not nearly far enough, because you got like 146 chapters to go. But if you never find where we are, you'll be somewhere in the Word of God and it'll be good. You just won't be where we are, okay? You'll still get a word. Let's read. Praise the Lord. That's a command. Don't you like that? He starts off the psalm with a command, an exaltation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. This is a command to him for his own soul to praise the Lord. First he starts with the people, then he looks back at himself. He says, let's praise the Lord. Y'all mind if I talk through it as we go? Praise the Lord all my life. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, some say nobles, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On the day they die, on that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. He praises one more time in the text, the Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. If I can for a moment, I'm a Bible nerd, so I'd like to lift out a few principles I think are transferable, so that way we won't be here very long. Is that okay? Would you keep me honest? I got three that are principles, and then I want to make some applications, okay? So you get three principles and then some application. But all right? Let's go for it. The first principle I see in the text is that it's not safe to put our hope in humans. Just not safe. Dare I say it's not even wise. Moreover, it's not even logical. Because humans fail. Humans cannot make promises, cannot make promises that they're sure they can keep. Even with the best intentions, no one can guarantee that what they say will come to pass. Look at what the text says. Do not put your trust in princes. In particular, he's talking about princes and nobles. He's talking about people of royalty. He's talking about people who rule, the government, kings, presidents, elected officials. Don't put your trust in them. Why? Because they're humans. And what do we know about humans? They cannot save. And the reason why I asked you those three questions earlier is because the truth is you have experienced already that people break promises. That people tell you one thing and they do another. Or people tell you one thing and want to do something for you but can't finance their own statements. But then moreover, you can't trust humans because you can't trust you. You don't even need to look at anyone else. All you need to do is look at yourself and say, well, I've broken promises to others. And even more than that, before we get to others, I've broken promises to myself. Come on, we broke a lot of promises to ourselves during Thanksgiving. I'm not going to eat the peach cobbler. And you did. We broke promises to ourselves, things that we really wanted, pursuing what we want now versus what we want most. We break promises. It's our nature. We are frail. We are here but a day, and then tomorrow we're gone. We're a vapor, is what the scripture says. And I know we like to think that we're a lot more than that, but here the text says, do not put any trust in humans. It's earthly kings, and here it is that we can tell, we already know how it is to put trust in politicians. We're in the middle of campaign season, if you will, and people are doing what? Making promises. And many of those promises they will not keep when they get to the office that we elected them for based on what they said. Even those with good intentions will get to the place and figure out, man, I cannot deliver on what I said. The Bible declares in James that the tongue makes boast that it cannot cash the check for. We make a lot of empty promises. Here it is, we don't possess the promises to keep them because we are incapable of saving ourselves. The promises that we do keep, hear this is good for you, because some of you are like, well, I keep my promises. And good, amen. But you do so by the grace of God. Because no one can say what tomorrow will bring. So good that you were selective on not making promises that you were pretty sure you couldn't keep, but if you kept them, it was because of the goodness of God and not you. So you just take it down a bit and join in with us, promise breakers. Because we make promises that we cannot keep. And so it's not safe to put our hope in humans. Let me tell you this, humans will disappoint you every time. If people are who you put your trust in, you will be ashamed, you will be disappointed, you will be let down, you will be crying, you'll be lamenting, because we make promises, it's who we are. We're broken and flawed people, we just don't do well with sticking to commitments. You even look at your life with Christ, you've made promises to him. You ever been there? God, if you get me out of this, I know I ain't the only one. God, I'm in this, if you get me through this, I won't go back there. And what do? We go back there. We end up back in there. We're very forgetful when it comes to what we have declared and said we would do. So the psalmist is right. Don't put your hope in people, because even if they're well-intentioned, they can't stop life from happening. And the minute they die, so go their plans. But there is one who we're celebrating who is coming, who that even though he died, and he rose, his promises remain. I want to get too far ahead of myself, but that's the idea, that you see the difference, that even death could not stop the promises of Jesus Christ in you as well. Point number two, principle number two, is that when our hope is in God, life cannot cut off our access to joy. Look what he says in the text. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. I like this because he calls these people blessed. And I know that seems like, you know, some days I don't feel like I'm blessed. You can go through life and life has a way of cutting you down. Life has a way of robbing your joy. Can I preach to you? Sometimes the holiday seasons are not joyful because life has a way of ripping away your normal and giving you something that looks really fuzzy and different and strange and don't feel good. And here it is, in the midst of life with broken promises, in the midst of life with hurts and hardships and pains and difficulties, the psalmist says that people who trust in God are blessed. I've just come this morning to tell you that no matter what you're going through, no matter what your situation is, if your hope is in God, you have access to joy. In other texts, it says, happy are those whose help is in the Lord. See, what he's trying to say and what we are picking up from the text today is that when our hope is in God, we have access to joy eternal. We have access to pleasures forevermore. And when our hope is in God, our situations do not determine our state of mind. Blessed, no matter what you're going through, because as we go through the text, he will begin to talk about the righteous. And he's beginning to talk about his faithfulness to those people. But look at the situations they're in. The righteous are oftentimes in bad situations because they're righteous. And in this text, he's lopping in the righteous with the poor because oftentimes their righteousness comes at the cost of being affluent in the culture. And here it is, he says that even though they're going through these situations, you're blessed. What we need to do today is get a new perspective of what blessed means. Blessed is knowing God. Blessed is being in relationship with God. Blessed is having promise in a future, not of yourself, that you built through your own intellect, your own efforts, and your own wit and intellect. You have this promise from God, not from you. Amen. And that's what it means to be blessed amid circumstances. that there's actual living hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That even when you're in tough situations, you can still have joy. Because this world is caught up on happiness in conditional things. But joy is not conditional. Joy comes from God, and if it comes from God, it's eternal. And that means that no matter the circumstance, whenever I'm feeling any old kind of way, I can reach up to my Heavenly Father. And that's like you can go into your mother's and father's house if you got a good relationship with them, and you can just grab what you want. And if I'm feeling a little sideways today, I can go and get me some joy because I'm blessed to be in relationship with someone who actually brings me real hope. And it doesn't matter the circumstance, because in the circumstance, there is hope to come out of the circumstance. Hope. Third thing, principle that we see, our circumstances do not corral God's faithfulness. Somebody needs that word today. Because you think that because of what you're in right now, that God's goodness to you is somehow being caged in. Yeah. There's somebody in here, I feel it. There's somebody, y'all excuse me, I grew up a little Pentecostal, I got a little charisma in me. And I feel it that some of us in here today are falling victim to thinking that our circumstance has somehow limited God's ability to be faithful to us in the midst of what we're going through. That somehow the God of all creation, the maker, as he says, of heaven and earth, has somehow been thwarted by the schemes of the enemy and by the vicissitudes of life. Now his goodness has somehow been held back from me. But no. In the midst of it, you are experiencing God's goodness toward you right now. Oh, you ought to just lift your hands for a second and say, thank you, God, that in the midst of what I'm going through, I'm still alive to give you praise, and therefore your goodness is with me. Your goodness is with me in the morning when it's a tough day in my house with my wife. You're with me when my car won't start. You're with me when the change is looking strange. You're with me in all of that. You're with me in all of that, and there's reason to praise. I dare not hop up too fast back to that point, but you know the reason he's praising is because of the reasons we're reading right now, right? Yeah, he comes into the text with the praise because of what's in the meat of the text. It brings him to offer God a praise that in the midst of what he's going through, whether it be oppression, whether it be blindness, and that is darkness overshadowing a person, whether it be fatherlessness, being a widow, whether it's being hungry or being a prisoner, God is with him. And his faithfulness to him or to her is not corralled by the circumstance. God is still good in the midst of that. And more than that, God has a plan about your circumstance. But we have to be able to still praise God. And the only way we can praise God in the midst of circumstances is if we have proper hope. See, the first thing to go when hope goes is praise. Why would I praise a God who I don't think can deliver me? You want to see people who have lost hope? Look at their praise. And I'm not talking about in church. I'm talking about the way they speak about God. The way you talk to them to a friend. Do you speak hope to people in dark times and seasons? Do you speak hope to yourself? How's your prayer life look? Another thing to go when hope is gone is prayer. Faith and hope work together. And I'd like to tell you that prayer is the engine of faith and hope. One has to have hope to offer up a prayer. One has to believe that he's the maker of heaven and earth. And the sea part, if you look at there, the sea means the violent things of life are under his control. Can you look back to when the disciples were on the boat with Jesus? And life was, I'm sorry, I'm going to give you some an analogy there, right? But if the life was going crazy, the storm was boisterous, and Jesus woke up and they said to him, it wasn't a prayer they offered to Jesus. They offered to Jesus, they said, we are going to die. They didn't wake him up for saving. But look at Jesus. He comes into that stormy situation and he stills the storm. Peace be still. And it's in that moment of your life where you need to be able to say that he's still the God who can bring peace to my tumultuous situation. And if he can, then I voice that expectation in prayer. Right? It's the natural outflowing of my belief in him. I pray. It's the only way I'm going to be able to communicate that need to him is in prayer. I got a few things that you need to do. Two things, maybe three, we'll see how it shakes. And one thing you need to acknowledge. Here it goes. Do not put your hope in humans. I know that seems really simple, but the gospel is simple. We just make it complicated. So I know it doesn't sound very profound, but don't put your hope in humans. For some of you, that looks like taking it back from humans. Some of us today, to not trust in humans, we need to take our hope out of humans because our hope is in humans. Today, you need to go to whomever mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and take back your hope from them. You need to take back your hope for happiness from your spouse. They can't do that. That's a God-sized need. You need to go back to your children and say, I'm sorry that I put my pressures on you for perfection, and I receive you today as God's perfect gift to me. We need to go back to a lot of people, our friends, our parents, and say, you know what, I put too much on you. I thought you were going to make my life perfect. I thought you were going to fulfill every promise you made, but I know that you're not even capable of that, so I take that off of you. I put my trust and hope for fulfillment and satisfaction and redemption and saving back in God. Because that's where it belongs. Some of us today need to take a closer look into different segments of our life where we have relapsed. Some of us, as a general theological position, say my hope is in God. But practically, it's not. That means that for some of you, are you trusting in the doctor's treatment? Are you trusting in the great physician? Now, he can work through medicine and doctors, but it's him working through it, not them working their practice. Are you putting your hope in your finances and your income alone, or the God who provides all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus? Where is your hope? Yes, some days the hope I have for my marriage is great, but then the hope I have for my children is low. God, help me to balance that across the board, that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly what? Come on. Right, but then sometimes if we be true, that the hymn that we sing is less accurate about our own lives. God, help me today to wholly trust in your name. There's some days, I'll be honest with you, some days in my fundraising, well, nothing expose your trust in God like fundraising. If you ain't been there, you don't know, but for those who've been fundraising, you know what I'm talking about. You have to remind yourself on a daily and regular basis that I'm not asking people to fund this. I'm asking God. And I'm asking God to do it through people. But I'm not asking you. I'm not asking them. I'm asking God. And some days I get frustrated with people because sometimes people say, yes, we will. And you're doing ministry, you're on the good generosity of people. But you have to, you know what? Gary, you're not asking people. If you got a problem with what's happening, ask God. And some days I have to take myself back and remember that, hey, this is God's kingdom. And he transfers money from one ministry account to the other. Not me. Not people. Number two, you need to put your hope in God and reclaim your joy in this season. So many times we have let life confiscate our joy. We've let life take our joy like a teacher takes a kid's cell phone in third period. You know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all hat's still in your teacher's drawers. And you don't graduate and moved on. You ain't never seen that hat and that Game Boy again. Because your parents, I ain't coming to pick that up. And here it is. Life has just taken our joy. Life has just taken our hope. It's just arrested it. Because we've been through some stuff. Can we talk? I mean, when we lost the first couple babies, man, I said, man, I don't know, God, if I really, you know, hey, there's something being this, there should be something in this package that we serving you, you know, and, you know, at least we serving you, we should be able to have a kid. I mean, come on. We had some real, me and Jesus had some real interesting conversations. Because life had robbed me of joy and robbed me of hope. Sometimes it was hard for me after that to go and talk to people who were going through and say, God's going to do something for you. I had to really check myself at the door. Do I believe that still? Because life just confiscated my hope like a little kid's Game Boy. I was sitting in the hospital with Ben. He was born. He was 1 pound, 13 ounces. And it took us the day before to go see all the other children in the NICU, little precious things. And they were like 2 pounds. And they said, your son's going to be smaller than that. I mean, when I talk about life, just suck the hope out of your heart. It just was crazy. And I just said, my wife looked at me. She said, I never seen you like that. I said, I got to go back to the Word. I went back to our room. We had been in the hospital for 2.5 weeks already. I went back to the room. I grabbed my Bible, the only thing I knew how to do. I just grabbed it, and I started reading somewhere in Psalms, but it had something good, like he created the universe and stuff. And I was like, well, if he can create a universe, then he can handle a 1 pound baby. You know, sometimes you have to go back and figure out who you trust in. Yeah, come on, somebody. I don't know who that is, but you need to go back and take your Game Boy, take your hope back from life that stole it, and remember who your God is. And I had to go back and say, he is the creator of the universe. So something this small can't be a problem for him. I had to take it back. The psalmist says, people who hope in God are blessed. Have you let life tell you otherwise? Some of you don't feel blessed today. And I've come to remind you just how blessed you are. Jesus, can I come in for a second? Jesus privately leaned over his disciples in Luke 10. He told them, blessed are your eyes because of what you've seen. People have died but have not seen what you've seen. Ears wanted to hear but have not heard what you've heard. You are so blessed and you don't even know it. Don't you let life rob you of being blessed. How has life robbed you of your joy as a son or daughter of God? Right now, I need to remind you of whose you are. And I need to remind you today of who you trust in. Can you just take a moment and think back of the greatness of God? Come on, just take a minute. Just, if you got to shut your eyes, shut your eyes. If you need to remember what he's already done for you, he has a good track record. Remember who it is that you're trusting in. I don't care what that situation is. I don't care how big that giant is. It must come down. I need you in this moment to raise up your hallelujah. I love that song. That's just an anthem for me right now. In the middle of cancer, in the middle of trouble in your marriage, in the middle of financial struggle, in the middle of unbelief, I need you to lift up that hallelujah. Lift up that praise as a weapon against the enemy. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he tries to come and entice you with what is already legitimately yours in Jesus. You are blessed. You don't need another thing to be blessed. I'm blessed because of who adopted me. And I don't need anyone else to tell me otherwise. The other thing you ought to do is get a praise. Yeah, I said it. Get a praise in your lips. And begin to lift up the name of Jesus amidst your circumstance. You know why praise is so good in the midst of it? Why he says that I have, for the spirit of heaviness, I have given you a garment of praise. You want to know why? Because praise takes your mind off your problems and puts your thoughts on God. My grandmother used to say it like this. They said, put your mind on Jesus and let's have church. Yeah. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. They said it was old, but they meant it. They couldn't figure out how it was working psychologically. But once I stopped thinking about my problems, started thinking about God, a praise arises. And what you need today is not a praise, it's not an all cure, but a praise will give you relief from your circumstances. It will lift the heaviness as you take your mind off your problems and put your mind back on God. Lastly, the thing you need to know, because those are things you need to do, so I hope you do them. The thing you need to acknowledge is that God's faithfulness is abounding toward you right now. Hallelujah. You don't need 2020 for God to flip the script. Because some of us are going to go into 2020 with the same mind. You don't need a new year, you need a new mind. Hallelujah. And here we are in the text is you need to know right now that God's grace is abounding toward you. It's overflowing in your life. And what does the song say? God, help me be more aware of your goodness. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, right? But what does the song say? Make me more aware, not make the goodness more apparent. Make me more aware of it. Not add more goodness. Make me aware of the goodness that's already present. One of the tricks of the enemy is also making himself seem like he's not here, but also to blind you from the goodness of God that's already present in your life. So in every season of your life, you're always looking back or looking to somewhere else, but never enjoying right now. He robs you of being present in his presence. And I want you to know that right now, God is being good to you. I don't know if you need a new antenna. Come on, somebody. I don't know if you need to shoot it up to broadcast level like a submarine, but out of the thickness of whatever you're going through, I need you to receive right now that he is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. I am the Lord, and I changeth not. There is no shadow of turning within him. If he loved you more than yesterday or loves you more tomorrow, he would be someone who is not God. He would be biased, and that would not be benevolent and loving. But God has loved you and has been good to you as the same day you were born and forevermore. God, I receive your goodness. Would you just lift your hand and say, God, I receive your goodness. I receive right now is a perfect provision for me. God, if you couldn't do it through a good time, you had to do it to me through a bad time. Thank you, God, for making Christ perfect in me. Thank you. So lastly, what does this have to do with Advent? What does this have to do with Advent? Well, into this hopeless situation enters Jesus. With kings and princes, nobles and royals who cannot make good on their promises, whose broken promises have shaped the world of suffering and lack and famine and drought and injustice and just discrimination and just a lack of faithful love. Into this situation, Jesus enters. Humanity unable to save themselves or anyone else. Living hope, he is, has come fully man, but also as the fullness of God that dwells bodily. He is the maker of heaven and earth and the sea. He is the Lord of creation. He is the first of many brothers who will be brought into glory. This Jesus comes in. He is the promise kept in the garden that comes into the wilderness. He is the proto-evangelium. He is Genesis 3:15. I will crush the serpent's head. This Jesus is coming into the world, and he will, as the psalm says, reign forever. The kings you have had pass away with their dreams and with their hopes and their intents. But here on the horizon comes a king who the Bible says his scepter will never depart. I'm getting excited. Will never depart from his hand. Here comes this king robed in white coming to judge the quick and the dead. Here is this king with deliverance in his wings. This king comes and his rule will never end. And all of his promises will be kept. Praise the Lord. That's what the text is saying. Praise the Lord. And as we celebrate Advent, we celebrate with bated breath. We wait and we say like John, even so come Lord Jesus. And make good, because you made good on the first promise that you would come into this world. That you'll know you'll make good on that second promise. That if I have gone away, I will receive you unto myself. So can us as little children just say, you know what? We've been checking the watch. And there's been promise that's been made to us. And I know it looks crazy. And I know it looks jacked up. And everything looks strange. But can we keep our hope alive? Because our Father will come to get us. And he will not miss one more appointment. He's not going to miss this opportunity to love on his children. Because he's a good, good father. Get your hope back. Get your hope back this season. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It's so dark. So many broken promises. Broken hearts are left everywhere. Life has come through like a bulldozer. It has killed our hope. It has confiscated our joy. But today, God, we come out reinvigorated, revived, not out of some spiritual mumbo jumbo, but because of truth, that you, Jesus, are coming with healing in your wings, and there is nothing in this world that will stop you. Every promise in you is yes and amen. Oh, Lord, help us to receive your promises again. Help us to put hope, not in people, but please transfer our hope to the economy of God. God, we praise you. We thank you, God, because you've been so good. We lift up as the psalmist, praise the Lord. All my days I realize now that I've been made to praise. And I praise because I'm alive. And me being alive is an expression of your goodness to me today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Gary. Our culture says Advent's about Black Friday and Cyber Monday, right? I think we just heard what Advent is really about. Could the communion servers come forward, please? Okay, well, good morning. My name is Joe Bittner, and I am one of the elders here at Calvary. Now, Jesus came to the Lord's Supper as the lowest of servants. If you recall, he even washed the feet of the disciples, the job of the lowest of the servants, of the slaves in the house. Paul says that he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Even death on a cross. In this season of Thanksgiving, we need to come to the Lord praising him for what he did. He loved us so much that he took upon him our sins. And now, when the Father considers us, he only sees his Son, and we are justified. That is our sure hope. Amen and amen. So the Lord's Supper proclaims his sacrifice for all of us as followers of Christ. Accordingly, only followers of Jesus should be partakers of this bread and this juice. We use gluten-free bread and grape juice as our elements. Our communion servers will distribute the bread in a moment, and when we're all served, we'll consume it together as one body. Our communion servers will then distribute the juice, and when they're all served again, we will consume the juice together again as one body. We are one in the Lord. As the Apostle Paul warns us, please take a moment now to examine yourself, to make sure you are ready to celebrate this communion. And if you're not familiar with Paul's injunctions, there is an insert in the bulletin, and you can read that about self-examination, and that's available in a church's bulletin. So let's take a moment just to reflect and examine ourselves. Paul records in his letter to the Corinthians that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your obedience. Your obedience is the reason we have sure hope, because you were willing to give up your life for us. Scriptures say that even when we were dead, you came because you loved us. We thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for this great gift. There's no way we could repay it. But Lord, you gave it to us freely. A free gift, Lord. We praise you. And thank you for this in your name. Amen.
There are 10,000 charms. the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. I will rise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. And in the arms of my dear Savior, there and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. And in the arms of my dear Savior, there are 10,000
charms. This bread represents the bread of life. Eat it all in remembrance of him. Matthew, in his gospel, states that at the communion supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to it, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Father, we thank you that only you can restore our souls. Only in you can we have hope of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for this. We thank you, it's a sure hope that you will do it. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. We come now as your servants, and we give you praise. Thank you for this in your name. Amen.
Beyond all measure, that he
This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.
Thank you, Joe, for leading us in communion together. Why don't we stand as we close our service? Let's praise our King, our Savior, for the hope that we have in Him.
Returning, we watch and we pray.
Sing to the King. Sing to the King.
Lord God, we praise you, Lord, for that hope that we have. That we know that when you make a promise to us, God, we can trust. Lord God, I pray that this life, our circumstances, our struggles would not steal us, that rob us of our joy and our hope in you, God. I pray that this season of Advent would be a time for us to reconnect with you, to remember to praise you, to pray, Lord God, to keep our hope in you. Not in people, not in this world, God, but our hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We praise you this morning. We thank you for this time, God. And we pray that as we each go our separate ways, that we would continue to connect with you this week, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.